Hello and welcome to Kicking Tires. My name is Jimmy.
And I'm Justin.
And today is May 25th, and we're sorry. It's been a few weeks since
A
we've done
month.
this. There was a few hiccups along the way, and I had some family stuff I gotta attend to. So I do apologize for that. But we are back and there's plenty of news to go over. There's so much stuff that we missed. So let's dive right into it here. The 400Z was released with all the information, all the pricing.
Yeah, roughly a week ago. Oh, you have the US site pulled up.
Oh, I do.
We do have Canadian pricing as well. So base price of the Z in Canada is 46,498, so under 50,000, which I think is a reasonable place for that car to be priced at. It's going to be more than a GR86, but less than a Supra. But that's
That's the
for the
important
base
part.
model, right? As for the base model, the one you want is going to be the performance, which is 58,498. So a pretty big price jump going up from the base to the performance, but you do get a lot of stuff for that. It still undercuts the Supra by about $10,000 here in Canada. So it is a legitimate competitor to the Supra, I think. The reviews, all the reviews have come out. You've probably seen them. Definitely a little bit slower, but it's got worse tires and it's $10,000 cheaper. And Nissan's main thing, it seemed like they really wanted to drive it into the reviewers, was that, hey, we're going after fun, not numbers, right? Which I don't think the Supra is really a numbers car either, but it just happened to put down decent numbers. But
Supra's numbers aren't as good as Nissan's numbers. Like, if you just look at numbers wise, like horsepower and torque wise, actually,
Oh,
any
I mean
horsepower
like
wise,
performance
perform like,
metrics,
yeah.
like quarter mile time. I think the Supra is a little bit faster, braking and stuff like that. It's a little bit better, but it's all marginal, and it's like it's a difference between like a set of tires and maybe an alignment that I wouldn't, that's not my main concern, but yeah, with a 10 grand price difference, I think the Z represents a good value. I think you can, squeeze performance out of it to match a Supra pretty easily. My only concern is really how the cooling is. That's really gonna have to play out with repeated track testing and, seeing how many come out to track days and how many can run the whole day. That's not an easy feat. Actually, at a recent track day, the TSS Rev Scene track day, we had like four or five Supras in the same run group. It was pretty hectic. It was pretty good. It's good to see that people are buying this enthusiast car and running them, and they're holding up, right? Like that's the thing, is that any car can put up solid numbers, but I think there's a reason why the track pits are filled with a certain type of car, typically Porsches, Corvettes, Mustangs, Supras, Miatas, S2000s, that type of car, right? Type Rs. And then there's cars that are kind of sporty, but don't really have the perhaps endurance or legitimate track chops to run full events, and just they attract a different clientele, I think. But the Z has a lot of potential. You were mentioning they have revised cooling compared to the Q60, which has been so-so. But Nissan hasn't been able to really sort out cooling on their Zs for over 30 years now, right? So that is my concern, because this is the same chassis, new, well, similar but revised chassis, and then it's an engine that's been out for a few years. So yeah, it's growing on me too. I think the look, the front end, I don't think it's as pretty as a Supra, the front end, but I like the back.
I do like the back, I agree. The front, I think there was that body kit company that made something for the front that really like it looks really good. It's kind of more reminiscent of like the old 240s kind of look. And I really like that. Here's my problem with the Z. So it starts at 46,500, and they say it's a fun car. It's not a numbers thing. Well, for $10,000, actually more than that, like $14,000 less than that, you can have a much more fun car called a Subaru BRZ. Right? So like the way that I see it is Toyota gives you two options, right? They give you the fun car, the GR86. If you want to have fun, you cannot beat the GR86. It's fun because it is light and it's attainable fun, and it's something that you can have fun every day. A Supra with the 400 horsepower that it has, or 382, same thing with the Z, it's quite a bit to have fun on, you know, everyday kind of street kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same thing that, you know, GR86 and BRZ can get you. But if you really want power, on the other side, Mustang 5-liter V8, it's also cheaper than the Z. Camaro SS1 LE, it's exact same price as the Z. So like,
yeah, and those cars have more performance chops, I would say. Like, they're more proven platforms that have a lot of track miles under their belt. And they're bigger cars, but I don't see them being less fun necessarily. The Z is a smaller car, it's a shorter car, it's only a two-seater. Those are 2+2s, but it is kind of a niche vehicle, and I don't think the price is too big of a concern. I think if you want this, if you're actually serious about buying something like this, you have the money.
You have the disposable income, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a commuter car, $50,000, right?
Yeah, it's not going to be good on gas. It's not going to be practical. It is a toy.
Yeah.
We can disregard any of the practical thinking side. You want this because you want this. And it's a very retro car. It's got a unique look. I like the interior. I like what they've done with it.
I think it's gonna hit a lot of that, like, oh,
nostalgia.
I used to have a 240. Man, I really love this new one. Mm-hmm. Oh, I used to have a 300ZX. I miss that car a lot, and I can't buy one again these days.
Yeah, I saw it, and I'm like, my first car was a 300ZX Z31 with the blue interior.
It was horrible.
And I'm like,
great.
And I saw the blue interior. I'm like, oh dang! I could relive my Z dreams.
Your Jay Leno days. Let's move away from this because there's so much more to go through. Let's talk about the new Range Rover Sport. So Range Rover dropped the full size Range Rover like a few weeks back, and then they dropped the Range Rover Sport on May 10th here. The Sport, of course, being the smaller, but really just as big, but sportier.
More pedestrian.
But really not that sporty. It's kind of weird, but it's actually kind of cool. It's a really good looking vehicle, I gotta say that. Like, when the Velar came out, I thought that's like the new direction of Range Rover. I was like, absolutely in love with it. And this, it just looks like a bigger Velar.
Yeah, it's very Velar. It's very smoothed out. We don't have kind of the more jagged edges we got with the second generation. The first generation was very blocky. The second one, still very macho. This one is completely smoothed out. And, you know, it for a good reason. It gets a 0.29 drag coefficient for something this big. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
I think, well, Land Rover has done this thing where they've done more, the Discovery range is going to be our rugged range. And then the Range Rovers are going to be our luxury cars. And it's kind of made that split more concise, I think, with this latest Sport, because even in the more base trims, you can tell this is a sport luxury type SUV. It's not meant to, do a Dakar Paris kind of run. Just looking at it, it does have some off-road technology in there, but you can tell the car is very low slung compared to the previous Range Rover Sport even. But even at the tail end of the second generation Range Rover Sport, we're seeing pretty much no more plastic cladding, and they've kind of gone towards this direction. Now, my gripe with this car is that it's so predictable. Like, it just looks exactly like what you would think it would look like. It looks
Not a
like
bad thing, though.
it's not necessarily, but I feel I'm a little bit bored looking at this. It looks just like the Velar. It looks just like the old Sport, like a facelifted version of the old Sport,
It's
but
not
it's an all
special
new
enough.
car. Yeah, the new Range Rover as well, the full size also. They added that kind of Fu Manchu look in the back, so that's kind of unique. But the new Range full size also does not distinguish itself from the previous generation that much, because looking back at the Range Rover we had from the 2000s, that was a very iconic look that still carried that rugged, root of the Range Rover, and still look very high-end, very luxurious, very classy. And the one after, the one that just is getting replaced, also had its own unique look. And I think this one does not distinguish itself from the previous one by much, right? Like, you could say, oh, well, the 2000s Range Rover, that's a great car to look at. We could have just made the previous generation just a facelifted version of that, essentially. But they changed it a lot going from one generation to the other, and then this time around we're seeing what looks like a facelift.
Yeah, they definitely didn't pay too much attention to like the visuals aspect of it, but I think underneath it's a lot more technological, like advanced. Because like the infotainment, it's completely new. The interior, it's very tech centric and forward. Like the cluster is a full screen. You get this like iPad type thing on in the center of your dash. The engine choices, it's a 4.4 liter twin turbo V8 from a BMW. That's like the high performance motor. You can still get the electric hybrid as well as probably not
Bunch of
here.
mild hybrids.
Yeah, and probably not going to be available here, but there are some mild hybrid diesel engines, which actually is kind of cool. Because mild hybrid tech, I love mild hybrid tech because the start stop on those are
It's so
always,
smooth.
always smooth. Like starting up a new mild hybrid tech Volvo, it's incredible just how
Yeah.
smooth that
I
is.
drove a CLS 53 recently, and I'm like, I couldn't even tell it was running. Like,
Yeah.
which I thought, on AMG felt a little bit awkward that you can't even tell that the engine is on, and I'm cruising at, 60, 70K,
It
and I
might be
can't really
off.
tell. I saw RPMs, but
Oh, okay.
I couldn't hear RPMs.
'Cause on the 53, as you're driving along, it can shut the engine off. It's so weird. Anyways, it's completely off topic, but like this is gonna have similar tech to that. Because I drove the Evoque before, and that had the old mild hybrid tech, and it was god awful. It really was. It was just bad. So with this, because it does have some BMW tech, it's definitely going to be better. There's four-wheel steering now, which is going to be super cool. For a larger vehicle like this, super welcomed. It's going to make maneuverability a lot better on and off-road, which, you know what, let's be honest, I don't think anyone's taking this off-road.
You can get active differentials with torque vectoring by brake, so not real torque vectoring, but they have a whole handling package for this. We haven't even talked about an SV or SVA or SVR yet. This is just the regular Sport and what's available on it. And yeah, you
There's
can
already a
tell
lot.
there's a lot of emphasis on the tech, and there's a lot of emphasis on the handling. Because it's a big SUV at the end of the day. It's a big SUV, but I don't know if you had the same experience, but I find that the Range Rover Sport has a very large exterior presence, but inside is not that big
Well,
compared to like a
the old
GLE.
ones, the problem with the old ones is they were full like ladder frame Range Rovers. So like the inside was like a foreigner. It just didn't have space. So like it just felt tiny
Yeah,
on the
but even the
inside.
outgoing model, you could get that as a three-row SUV, but it doesn't seem as spacious. Like the use of space is not great. Like the
Yeah.
packaging,
I feel
right?
like
Like you get into a Q7 and you're like, "Cool, this thing is pretty big." Right?
Yeah.
That's a three-row SUV. That's
Yeah.
not that big on the outside.
I
Just
mean,
packaging-wise, it seemed better.
if we're really talking about packaging, no one does packaging like Honda, let's be honest. They're it could be the tiniest cars on the outside and it could be the most amount of
Well,
space on
I
the
mean, the
inside.
Pilot
Okay.
is
Oh, that's different. The
well,
Pilot's
that's
not
what you have
bad.
to compare it to.
That Pilot's not bad. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about the most expensive and the most powerful SUV from Cadillac, the
Yeah.
Escalade V. So we talked about this a few weeks back.
Yeah,
There
back in
was,
January, we didn't have the numbers yet, but
but
now we have numbers. Pretty good numbers,
yeah,
actually.
it's quite
It's
astonishing.
basically 700 horsepower.
Let's say
682.
seven hundred, right?
Yeah.
At 682. Top Gear math, that's 700 horsepower. That's a whole lot. So I watched the video of this from the Cadillac engineers. They said it's not just the CTS, not CTS, CT5
CT5.
V engine. It's been revised. They have different things on it to make it so that it's
A bigger
easier to produce
supercharger for
torque.
one.
Yeah. Bigger supercharger, and it has more torque at the low end because it's for an SUV.
Yeah, the inertia is a lot greater with a three-row full-size body-on-frame SUV than it is with a mid-size sport luxury sedan, right? And only all-wheel drive on the V, so not like a traditional truck. Transfer case where you have kind of four auto, high, low, that kind of thing. It's got an active split, so that's kind of cool. So yeah, they're going after kind of a, I think they're going after the Range Rover, if you think about it.
Well,
It's got the road presence.
Range Rover doesn't make anything this big.
They don't. Well, they're doing the V in both the normal and the long
But even
version,
the
I think.
normal one is huge.
It's huge. It is. But it's what people cross shop realistically, right? Like
Yeah, Range Rover, like X7, GLS, they kind of do cross shop, but
Yeah.
like you're getting with any American big SUV, you're getting a good SUV. All right. I'm sorry, but after driving a Jeep Grand Wagoneer, like that is a true big SUV that I would want. Like,
Yeah.
remember how much I was raving about the Alpina XV7? I still think it's a really good handling vehicle, but as a big SUV to carry six people, seven people, no. No, there's no way. The Jeep
Yeah.
Grand Wagoneer is so much better. Same thing with the Escalade. It's just so much better of an SUV, and it can tow 10,000 pounds. Actually, I don't know how much this can tow, but
I think it's at least nine. Like, there's no way it tows less than nine.
yeah, it I'm
It's
sure it's a
probably
lot.
not really important for their specs on the press release, but it's gonna be good. It's got air ride, so oh, trailering 7,000.
7,000.
Oh, that's
Well,
still
I mean, okay,
better than the Tacoma, right?
7,000 is still a whole lot. I mean,
Yeah.
for what you really need, 7,000 is quite a bit. Grand Wagoneer can go 10,000, but
Yeah,
that's
it's
a
not
different
as
story.
sport tuned. The regular Escalade can
Yeah.
tow more than that, but this one is all sport tuned, which
Yeah.
still will tow, smaller boat, car trailer,
So
no problem. It's got
when I was
enough
looking at
power.
this, you know what was kind of boggling my mind? It wasn't the 4.4 second 0 to 60. That my mind can comprehend. But under 12.7 on the quarter mile. That was boggling for me.
That is legitimate sports car. I think a Supra probably only runs around there. That yeah. might be faster than the 400Z.
I think so, actually.
I think it is. I think the 400Z.
Well, runs... I mean, this has those, you know, a little bit more power than that, but but yeah, this is absolutely amazing. I'm so happy that, you know, Cadillac has decided to make this, because we're at the end of this kind of era, right?
Gas guzzling, huge, naturally aspirated, no electrification SUV. Yeah. Like,
this won't last long. But
get it while you can.
But I think it's one of those times where, like, it's the only type of vehicle that you can make without any electrical competition. There are no good.
There's no substitute.
There are no good three-row electric SUVs that can tow and have the range because they can't do it. So this is like one of those markets that electric just can't touch. So yes, when people
can't make something this big that's this capable.
Yeah. So
yet
it exactly. And that's why this exists. And I think it can last a little longer than your typical performance car that you may see. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's move on. Speaking of performance car, Audi. Audi has stepped up with their new RS5 and gave us a competition and competition plus package. So,
yeah, I mean, okay. So Audi's doing this because people were not that keen on the RS5 when it came out. So the RS5 coupe sportback and the RS4 Avant in other markets, the wagon. But the RS5 hasn't had the greatest launch, especially this generation. I think the previous generation had a bigger undertaking, but this one, it's so in the shadows of the C63 is coming out soon with that four cylinder, the electrified and everything, that new power plant. We'll see how that goes, but people are looking forward to it. And the M3 is making a lot of headlines. Whether you like it or not, the M3 is always going to be a more legitimate sports car than the Audi. There's just, I can't fathom it. Like, I don't know why, how hard it is to make RS5 competitive in terms of, like, the track stuff. Because they, even compared to the outgoing M3, this is, it's not up there.
No. Yeah. The RS, like, it's supposed to compete with the full AMG, full fat AMGs, and the full on M cars. But in reality, they kind of have the same performance figures as the AMG Lite and the M Sport type vehicles more than anything else. Basically. And it's just kind of weird. I always liked the look of them.
I remember were discounting it. Well, so the I think 21, they made it a wider body, which is really cool for the RS5. Like, it's a good looking car. It's a good looking car, and they were discounting them like 15K. Like, you wouldn't get that off of, not now, nothing's being discounted now. You can only make so many. But there was a time when these were so undesirable that they had to discount them, you know.
Yeah.
Five figure discounts. if you put it that way. Like, it's kind of, it wasn't that long ago that these were being cleared out. The lease rates were cheap on these too. But yeah, the competition package. So competition plus, I guess. I don't know which is which, but basically the big thing about it is the new RS Sport Suspension Pro. So Sports Suspension Pro, that's going to be manually adjustable coilovers, still have adaptive damping, apparently three-way adjustable dampers, stiffer, lower, and you can lower it a little bit more. So you can lower it. It comes lowered by about 10 millimeters compared to the normal RS5, and you can lower that an extra 10 millimeters. So that is the big deal with the RS5, is that, hey, we're taking suspension, our chassis tuning, more seriously now.
Will it still understeer like an absolute dog?
Ah, no one's tried, so we would never know, because they got better tires now, P0 Corsas. I think the normal RS5 gets Sport Contact 6 Conti, so P0 Corsa is more track-oriented tire, retuned ABS. You can get these with carbon ceramic brakes, but who does? Because, again, no one is taking this to a track. It's a sportier package for kind of their top sports model that has been a little bit disappointing.
I'm throwing a big yawn to this, and I'm moving on to the next topic because I don't care enough about this. BMW.
This is the gold standard again with the midsize, luxury sedan, coupes, whatever.
I don't even BMW know.
BMW is the gold standard. They are the segment leader in not just kind of Germany, but all over the world. This is 3 Series is kind of the standard.
The 3 Series is the benchmark that everyone wants to hit. When Genesis created the G70, they weren't looking at the C-Class. They weren't looking at the A4. They wanted to beat the 3 Series. That's why the G70 is so sporty the way it is.
Not the TLX?
No one.
Not the Q50?
Not even Acura was looking at the TLX.
I love the G20 3 Series. It came out about 3 years ago now. I really like this generation. I thought the interior was pretty nice. It drove nice. It was roomy. I liked the trunk. The back seat was really reasonable for this size.
Definitely usable.
Good powertrain options. Really, I like this generation, and they facelifted it. The facelift is minor. Pretty different.
I think it's minor.
It's like, minor because we've seen this on other models before, which the X3 already got this facelift.
That's why I was saying it's minor. Because to me, I'm seeing 100% the X3's front end on
the color, the little slash below the headlight, the slightly larger grill. It hasn't gone full BMW grill yet.
No.
They've got to save that for the G80 Big Daddy, right? So it's got the same kind of rear end styling as the X3 as well.
You know what I noticed on the back though? Shaved badges. I mean, you still got the BMW Roundel, but
are they doing a badge delete on these?
Yeah, no distinction.
Weird.
I saw it across all their images. I don't know if it's just for press because they're like, oh, it's cleaner, but it was weird. All the model distinction is gone.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the last update is really the inside. They basically took the iX dash and they just slapped it on here.
It's that's the really new operating system 8 or iDrive 8 from BMW. So we got two big screens. One's like about 12 inch, one's like 15 inch. And they've got away with a lot of the buttons in the middle, right below the vent, which is what we talked about recently with the X7. So more minimalist design means you're gonna have to go through more menus. We'll review that when it comes time, but I'm sure BMW's had really good track record as far as UX goes, I think. In my opinion, like
they definitely did, because they had the dedicated climate control, but with this new iDrive, the climate control is built into the infotainment now. So I'm sure we're going to get a lot of complaints on that.
Yeah, all the reviews are going to complain about it, and it will not matter at all because
you set at that temperature. It,
please just use auto climate control, which I will get to in a bit when at our after show notes, because I want to talk about a car I recently picked up. But I will save that note.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's...
But yeah, 3 Series. Actually, can we go back to the 3 Series front end wise? Do we have a head-on shot? Because the facelift is minor, but I think it's given it a very different vibe, that middle picture. I think it looks a lot more masculine because the grille is taller. It's got a more like a pit bull-ish, more, I don't want to say aggressive look, but it is more in your face.
You just look like this because it looks like your dog.
Possibly. It's got kind of a snub nose. I'm not saying I like it necessarily, but it is distinct. Like it, you know, we've seen facelift. I think Audi facelifted their cars, but like none of the panels change. The headlights change a little bit. Same with Mercedes with the previous W205.
I like this facelift. I really do, because I like the new X3. The new X3 front end, like, it's so subtle. Oh, yeah. But
especially
it's really nice.
It just refreshes it. Like, it brings it back up to date.
Yeah.
Which is the whole point of the LCI life cycle impulse, as BMW likes to call it. One thing I want to mention, though, previously. Okay. So E90 and the F30 with the facelift, we had whole new engines, because that was BMW's thing. BMW is very much an engine company, and they make some of the best engines. And yeah, with the E90, we went from 325 to 328, revised engine, a little bit more power, a little bit more reliable, a little bit better fuel economy. With the F30, we went from the N55 to the B58, which is what the Supra had. And then also the N20 to the B48, I want to say, which from the 328 to the 330i, we had a whole new or thoroughly revised engines. But with this LCI, we do not have a real big update as far as powertrain. I did see they're adding mild hybrid to the 340i, which is cool, but that's pretty minor compared to previous 3 Series
LCI updates.
Yeah, so I wanted to point that out, because we're not getting like something super exciting as far as engines go. Which
I'm going to be honest,
it's because they're focusing on electric, right?
Yeah, when I had the X3, it was an X340, so it's M40i. So same thing as this 340i. That powertrain, it's absolutely phenomenal.
Oh yeah, it sounds good on gas, lots of power, and there's a reason why people look up to these engines.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal engine. The mild hybrid worked quite well. Like, cars that I get in, I want to turn off the auto shut off at the light mode. Like, I forgot what that thing is called.
Auto start stop.
Of course, auto start stop. So dumb. Anyways, there are certain cars that I will always turn that off. But with any mild hybrid tech car, it's just like, I don't need to touch that button. Mm-hmm. What's funny is the RDX I have right now, there's a very big button in the center of the dash for that engine start stop, because you want to press it. Because it's that disruptive.
It's that rough.
Yeah.
Is that the four cylinder too?
Yeah, it's the K series.
Oh, I guess so. That would make sense.
Yeah.
And they, you know what? A lot of manufacturers, they don't save that setting too, which is kind of.
Yeah. When you start the car, it resets. Yeah.
BMW, you can buy BIMR code or all sorts of coding apps, and then just buy a Bluetooth thing off of Amazon and code that out. Not code it out, but you can save your previous setting. So if you turned off auto start stop, it will always be off until you turn it back on again.
Oh, that's kind of nice, actually.
Which is handy. Great. I honestly love BMW ownership. It is the best.
Yeah, and by BMW ownership, you mean Toyota.
Supra, Toyota. I just love inline six. Like, inline six is the best, and they make the best inline sixes. So fight me.
Well, Nissan owners right now are just like crying. The RB26.
Well, they haven't made a great inline six in a very long time.
Toyota owners are like, oh, but the 1J.
The Toyota.
Anyways,
sluggish engine.
Let's move on to something more exciting here. This is the BMW M3 50 Javier. I'm definitely,
I took two terms of German.
It's
Funzigjahre, which is the 50-year anniversary
of BMW. Why did you take 2 years of German?
Two terms. I needed breath. They call it breath courses. Like, you have to take like a mix of, you can't just take one type of course.
So you decided SFU, German?
So. Yeah, I didn't want to do anything else.
So. Yeah. So weird. Anyways, 50 years.
It's the most useless language because everyone in Germany speaks English and like better than people here. Like they're so fluent in everything.
You can say what James May says. I don't know if you remember that episode of Top Gear. Naturally, your head is wet. You're standing under a waterfall. He said that in German. That's the only German that he knows. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, it's. My Top Gear knowledge is tip top. Anyways, 50 years of M. That's basically what this is. Limited to 500 vehicles, exclusive to North American buyers. You get this amazing suitcase. Just check out the wheels on that suitcase. That's what you want right there.
I can't tell what wheels they are.
They're nothing special, that's for sure.
Oh man, I thought they were like the garbage can TE37s. Like,
you would think that they would do something special, but yeah. No, it's just a regular suitcase. Anyways, but what you have to know is there's special edition paint colors to represent five generations of M3. And you know what? They're all absolutely beautiful.
Oh yeah. One my favorite is the one in my background here.
Well, you have two colors on your background, so it's kind of hard to say.
It's the one up front.
All right. The Techno Violet?
Techno Violet, E36.
E36?
M3. So, yeah, I mean, the heritage colors, if we were to list it out, from E30, we have five generations to cover. E30, we've got the non-metallic Cinnabar Red. I guess there's no picture of that.
No, they only have pictures. It's stupid. They only have two colors on their pictures.
Oh, man.
But so, if you know BMWs, the picture that you currently see in your head of the E30 M3 in red, that's the one.
It's just fire red. Like, it is the classic red that you get on any car. Like, a Nissan Versa is available in this classic fire red. Like, frankly speaking, right?
Slightly less faded, but...
Yeah. Cinnabar Red, so non-metallic, that's really standard, but I guess you can't get a normal G80 M3 in that color anyways. There is also the E36 Techno Violet, that's the purple color. Even better than, what's that violet color that they have, the purple? Night purple? Whatever is available on the M240i, but the Pilot is
better. I can't remember what it is. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That one's not as nice as this.
It's not as nice as Techno Violet. Techno Violet, if I could special order a G80 even after, because this 50-year anniversary is just for this year, and it's just for North America. So I probably won't be able to get one. But if I could special order an individual in the future, I would probably get this color. I love the G80 M3. I love it because our mutual friend Jordan hates it. Speaking of our mutual friend Jordan, so the next color is the E46, which is kind of a dark blue color, not actually what Jordan has, but E46, it's got the Interlagos blue. It's just a dark blue color, really clean. It's the safest color. E46 M3, also the Z4Ms, a lot of them came in this color. And then after that, we have the E90s. So the E90 one was an interesting choice because it was such a rare color. So they picked their homage to the E90 to M3 was Lime Rock Edition's Fire Orange 3 color, which is, it's orange. Like, it is the brightest orange, most in your face orange you could think of.
Wasn't that just the United, like, the that was the special
edition. You could only get it as a coupe, and you could only get it as a Lime Rock edition, which I'm like, okay, that is not like the signature color of that generation, because you could only get it as a coupe. You couldn't even get it as a...
Wasn't the GTS also that orange? Is that why?
Fire Orange 3? Well, according to press release, it's really the Lime Rock, which I've seen that car before a few times. There's at least two or three in town, in Fire Orange 3, but I don't like that color. To me, that color looks like a cheap wrap. Like, it's a very typical color that people would wrap cars in.
I'm just doing quick Google search. The fire orange is the E92 GTS orange. That's why.
Yeah. I don't know what fire orange 1 and 2 look like, but fire orange is... I don't know how it will look with this giant grill. It is very in your face. Yeah. So fire orange, that is the E90 color. And then with the F80 series, we have the Lime Rock Gray, which is that kind of think similar to Nardo Gray and all these other fashion gray, Brooklyn gray. Like, it's these kind of pastel-y looking gray colors. Very trendy at the moment. But Lime Rock Gray, that's a good one, I think. Yeah, the only one that I'm iffy about is Fire Orange 3.
Really like the orange on the M3, on that E92 before.
I think it just got ruined in my mind because of all the cheap wraps. Yeah, because it's a very, like, I don't know, 3M color.
There are two options that you can get with this car. Carbon seats and special set of wheels. The forged wheels, they are optional. And the carbon-backed seats. So those are the only two paid extras that you can get on this car. And gosh, those seats look great.
Yeah, carbon everything. These seats, and they have the tickle pockets. So if you have people in the back seat, they will tickle you. I don't know. If I were sitting in the back seat, I would definitely
engage remind in me, some tickling. Remind me never to get a press car with holes
in the competition seats. Yeah, I love those seats. I sat in them. This one has that little middle ridge cup between your thighs. It is kind of awkward because it is very, like, protruding. The little
oh, right here,
the nutsack holder
definitely doesn't look too comfortable, but
yeah. But once you're in, it is very buckety. Like, your thighs are very separated because of that piece, which you don't get on most other bucket seats.
Well, I mean, this is really cool and all.
Cool thing is the logo. Did we talk about the logo? We didn't talk. Let's zoom in on the logo a bit.
Well, we're talking about the logo of the next car because that's part of the heritage of the next car as well.
Nice. So yeah, it's not the normal BMW blue and white logo. It is, but it's shrunken down. It's the Motorsport logo, which has a few more. It has the M colors around it. M colors all over this car.
This was used in the first CSL that was created because we're going to go right into it. M4 CSL. So the CSL is competition sports lightweight. Essentially, this is the third time BMW has used a CSL in any of their vehicles. The first was, oh gosh, E something. I can't remember what the number was. 24? Something like that. It looked wicked. It looked like a
Batwing
car. Yeah.
Batwing. Yeah. That's like a 6 series, right?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly.
635 CSL.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what generation code that was.
Yeah.
But the CSL that I remember was the E46 because, well, old enough to remember that when that came out. But it was so cool. You know, no backseat, carbon roof, ducktail spoiler. And that's basically what they kind of done to this brand new M4 CSL here.
It's a modern interpretation. It's the hardcore version. It's their kind of, you know, think Porsche GT car or RS Porsche. So it has a similar engine, but they've upped the boost. They've done some software tuning on it. So it's making a little bit more power than before.
40 more horsepower than the M4 comp.
Yeah, a solid amount. Whether or not most people will notice it, I don't know. The M4, yeah, it's a cool car. The big thing is really how much weight they've saved, because I didn't think you could save that much weight out of what already is, like, made of a lot of lightweight materials. Yeah. But 240 pounds is no slouch in a modern car.
So I was reading this, it's 240 pounds lighter than the M4 comp, but still 100 pounds more than the last year M4 GTS.
Ah,
the last generation, the F80. Yeah. So even with the cage, it's still 100 pounds lighter than this because it's a smaller car. But this one is faster because it has more power.
Yeah. And it's really cool because of how they've saved the weight. Because, okay, the obvious stuff, okay, they've changed it to carbon bucket seats. That saved like 50 pounds. They've took out the rear seat, replaced it with two pieces of board to partition off the trunk. That saves another 45 pounds. They've changed the wheels, carbon ceramic brakes, a little bit lighter shocks and spring setup. That's another 45 pounds. So there already you have 140 pounds of weight savings. But the cool stuff really comes in 15 kilos less sound insulation. That's 30 some odd pounds of sound insulation. I didn't know there was that much in there. So curious where it's shaved off and how different it sounds. 11 kilograms worth of switching over to carbon fiber reinforced plastic. So or polymers, I guess they call it. So we have CF hood, CF trunk, center console, similar to other CSs in the past where you have no armrests, you don't have a storage bin under your elbow, but all that to save weight. There's another 25 pounds. Well, I don't think it's the center console. And I just talked to a friend of mine who owns the GTS and he's like, you know, I could really use a center console. like a center cubby. He's like, I could spare those 2 pounds of the plastic door.
I could just skip breakfast.
Nice to have the storage. And it's in the middle and it's low down in the car that it doesn't really matter, the 2 pounds. But it's part of this whole treatment, right? So titanium exhaust. And the cooler bits is even look at the grill. It's hollowed out for the most part.
Yeah.
Compared to the normal grill. And there's a lot of weight savings in that too, because it's a giant grill. The tail lights, even the floor mats and the climate control, they've shedded weight there. It's not very significant. It's only about 9 pounds worth of weight in the grill, tail lights, floor mats, climate control combined. But it still counts for something. And
I was going through the video of the engineering team going over how they shed the weight for the climate control. I can't remember if they went from like a dual zone to a single zone or automated climate control to non-automated.
But
they
still said automated.
It's still automated? Okay. Yeah, it was just a little bit single zone to reduce the weight. And I'm like, that's crazy. Because like from dual zone to that, all they're really doing is they're not changing the switch gear. They're just removing a sensor on the passenger side and changing the
diverter. Whatever is not necessary, right? They're taking it out.
I'm going to say the tail light. So this tail light, they say they shaved like the tiniest amount of weight.
Look at how thin the little laser strips are.
So they didn't have to do this, let's be honest. Right,
but it's cool.
It's so cool. I gotta admit, because the last, not the comp, but they did the OLED panel for the
GTS. Yeah, GTS tail lights. Those are so super cool. Expensive. They're those so look cool. Better than this, but they're probably not as light as this.
Yep.
Which it's how much is a plastic tail light realistically weigh? Probably like 4 pounds. But yeah, still.
But you know, if you can just make the light strip a little bit thinner, still within DOT, but a little bit thinner.
Yeah. Because it's cool. It's just like part of a design aesthetic that like it's more minimalist, which I dig.
But they went with a heavy aluminum strut brace in the front. Not carbon fiber like the previous generation.
No boomerang like the old one.
Yeah. They could have saved 242 pounds if they went with carbon fiber.
Could have had, probably a few extra grams off of that brace. The engine bay is not as pretty as the old one, for sure, because of that carbon brace and just the engine cover. That brace is not pretty by any means.
No. I remember they shaved weight in the wheels as well. The wheels look the same, but they're not. These are actually lighter. I don't know if you said
they're probably
that.
Milled
lighter
out.
Wheels.
Slightly.
It's
carbon ceramics, but you know,
it's a super cool.
It's cool because it's like no one's really done this in a while. Like that was kind of what made the GT3 really cool back in the day. The 996 GT3, I remember just changing the badge, right? The badge doesn't weigh anything, but changing it to a sticker. to a sticker. Like it's just, it's stuff like that that, you know what? It probably costs them a lot less to make it, but it probably saves the manufacturer money, but it's still cool to for it to come from a manufacturer. Now, if you do it yourself, it's happy. Right, like
I was gonna say, like, have you been printing out Toyota badges again, just sticking on your car?
If you do it yourself, it's tacky, but because they did it first, it's cool.
Then it's cool. Makes sense.
Yeah,
let's move on. Honda CRV. We don't have any details. Information is coming in the future. Mm-hmm. They dropped some images. It looks like the new Civic. We know that.
Like hybrid,
it is a hybrid. They have a badge on the back that says it's a hybrid. The taillights look so cool. I love that because it looks like a Volvo.
Looks like a BMW.
Looks like a BMW too. It reminds me of the Volvo because it comes up from the top.
G20 slash.
Oh, then it has a. Yeah, it's a combination of both.
Yeah. CRVs always look like a Volvo. Remember the old ones? Like.
Yeah, well, my generation has the full taillight too.
Yeah.
But they cheaped out here. You can see incandescent turn signal. They cheaped out. Anyways, we don't know much details, but new CRVs on the horizon.
The hybrid is a big deal because if they didn't do a hybrid here in North America, like just.
Well, they have the hybrid in the US, but they just don't bring it to Canada because reasons. I was never being able.
Couldn't make enough of them. Or they just knew they couldn't make one as good as Toyota.
No, it's not as good as Toyota. It's not as efficient. They're not selling as many as they thought they would. And it's just never came to Canada.
Fair enough.
Speaking of Toyota, Foreigner Anniversary Edition. 40th anniversary of the exact same vehicle is available for you now on the vehicle colors that they used to have. It's black with a stripe on it or some other colors. Yeah. Let's be honest. There's not a lot of information here.
It's got like an A-team stripe.
But what you have to know is in the US, there's 4,040 of them available. In Canada, there's only 400. So if you want a special edition.
Some foreigner, guy in the product planning is like, okay, it has to be 4 and 0. It has to be numbers. But so, we're not going to make 4,000. You know, we can't do 404 because that's like an error. So I guess we'll do 400. And like, yeah.
You know what happened here is the Foreigner was supposed to be updated for 2023. That was actually the part of the product planning. But they're like, man, people still really want to line up for buying these. Why don't we just delay that another year? We'll come up with this special anniversary edition. Get people to buy it. And of course, you know, Foreigner lovers will still absolutely latch onto this. And then probably, you know, sell this on BAT in 10 years time for like $50,000 over what they paid.
I wonder if they would, because it's just not that special. It's literally just a graphic.
Yeah. Well,
like you could recreate this with like $50 of plastic dip and vinyl.
But when it comes to anything that's special edition, you know that it's always comes up later on as something super cool, super amazing, and super expensive.
What are the other colors available? Because they showcase a black.
It's black.
White, midnight black, and Barcelona red. So all, I guess.
Kind of heritage colors.
I guess so, yeah. The only one I care about is Army Green.
Well, that's the thing. This isn't based off of TRD Pro, which to me was kind of weird. Because it generally
looks like a trail.
It's just like a base with some added on bits and pieces.
Is it even capable at all?
Don't say that. Foreigner people get mad. Speaking of capable, just as capable as this all-wheel drive minivan.
A lot of anniversary editions lately.
Toyota has 25th anniversary for the Sienna. So
see, it's not quite like the M3 anniversary where we can look back at all the great M3s and the beautiful colors that came.
No, look, in the press release, they talk about the first generation from 1998 2003, designed expressively for the North American market. The 1998 Sienna was built at Toyota Motoring Factory in Kentucky. Yeah. Like, they go through
the all one that was significantly worse than a Previa. It's the first generation Sienna.
It really wasn't that, like, great, that first one.
Yeah, the Sienna, the Previa was amazing. The Sienna was, it's okay.
Well, get why. Let me tell you about this brand new one and why you need to buy it. All right. So it's based off the XSE. So you get the amazing looking front grille, which I can't find a picture for. Well, maybe it's in here. Wait. Grille. Yeah. There.
Yeah. Top right.
You get the amazing extra large grill. I saw that you held back your barf a little bit there. But it's the XSE grill on the front, right? You get the XSE look on the back. You got the XSE badge. Mm-hmm. You can get it in front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive thanks to that hybrid powertrain. You get these 25-year floor mats. These will go on eBay after for a lot of money. And that's really it.
Yeah, I don't know what they...
Okay, to be honest, what they have done is they took the XSE, but they added some limited parts to it, like heated and cooled front seats. So you get that. I don't know if you get the 360 camera. Let's see if I do a... Yes, you do. So you get a 360 camera and the heated and cooled front seats, which were the two things that I really wanted in the XSE, but you couldn't do it. Nice. So I talked to people at like Van Culture, which is a modifying group. A lot of people want the limited, so they buy the limited, but they get the XSE front and rear bumpers because they look better and sportier. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what they're giving you here.
But if you want a bit of buyer advice, if you can go after this anniversary edition, chances are there's not a lot of people in line for this. You know, Toyota... for the anniversary edition. Well, I mean, I don't know how many there are.
I called to the Toyota that's nearby here. I asked them, like, oh, I saw that there was a special anniversary edition. It's like, are you guys taking pre-orders for that? It's like, oh no, we're not taking any pre-orders for any more vehicles upcoming. It was mainly because after the GR Corolla, something happened, and then now they're not taking any pre-orders.
Yeah, because what happened is people are going to every dealership and putting a deposit down, $500, $1,000, whatever it was, all across town, wasting a bunch of people's time. And it's just, I don't know, it's rough right now. My only advice is if you want a Sienna, try somewhere not in the lower mainland. Like, go to a more remote dealer is where my customers have been getting their Siennas. Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And driving it back like halfway across the province.
Well, speaking of prices, I just want to go on a quick tangent before you go on yours. I was looking on Craigslist, as I do. Actually, it's been a few months since I've been on Craigslist because with pricing of used cars being the way they are, I was like, there's really no point. I can't find any good deals. I was just looking at some EVs just to see kind of what they are. The cheapest one I found was $15,000 for a 2015 Leaf.
Leaf?
Yeah. That was the cheapest EV I found. And then the atrocity stuff is like, you know, $80,000 Teslas that's supposed to be 60. I saw an Ioniq 5 that's supposed to be 45 grand for $70,000 listed.
It's crazy. I don't know if anyone buys it. Well, I had a friend that had a Golf R, Mark 8, and he sold it back to a dealer. Dealer paid him about $2,000 more than what he paid for it, brand new. Hmm. And they sold that car for like almost $70,000 the next day. So it's actually insane, like, what people are willing to pay. I don't know if these people are buying on credit or... like, they're just like, I can afford this monthly payment for this car, and that is good. But yeah, it's scary because, like, people are actually buying, like, very inflated prices for used cars. you know, we knew that with cars, like, you know, cars that were actually hard to get, but now everything is like a Golf R was not hard to get a year ago.
Well, now it's impossible to get, basically. But like the dealer that I bought my CRV from offered to buy it back for more money than I paid for it 2 years ago, almost 3 years
that
ago.
That seems like that is the rhetoric that's going around, right? Everyone is like, well, I can get, you know, more for my car than what I paid for. But the problem is you can't replace your car either because everything else is up.
Luckily, I'm in a scenario where I don't really have to think about that, so I was heavily considering it.
You do have a RAM 6 you can use.
I was heavily considering it, but I still want something here just in case.
Just take the RAM 6.
Maybe.
I feel like it's terrible on gas, but it is... Speaking of car purchases.
Anyways, you go on your tangent.
So,
because we're almost out of time.
We've been away for, what, 3-4 weeks now. So since that time, I think I did talk about I sold the M2.
Yes.
Because I got lowballed for it for a trade-in. So I just sold it privately. Well, not private. Sold it to a dealer, actually. And the replacement for the M2 is a 718 GT4, which is like, it's a cop-out car because I think it's very, it's such a predictable car. And it's like, it's a car that is kind of a no-brainer. If they will sell you one, just take it because you will not lose money on it. And that's kind of the rhetoric, is that everyone talks about how much it's worth, the resale value, bliss, depreciation, this. And I don't know. I've had it for 2 weeks now. Haven't had a chance to talk about it on this show, but basically, oh, there you go. Racing yellow GT4, PDK, carbon ceramic brakes, bucket seats.
Sounds like all the wrong options there.
Well, I realize that there are options that I missed. The first day hopping into it, driving back to the shop, I was like, why does the AC suck ass?
Really?
It doesn't have auto climate control. The dual zone I could care less about, but I wanted auto climate control at least.
Wait, doesn't it have climate control?
It's manual AC. It's a temperature like up down thing. It's so basic. Like, you can't. That was one of the things that annoyed me. You have no comfort features on this car. Like, I don't have lane departure warning. I don't have forward collision warning.
That's normal. I think that's normal.
You don't have rain sensing wipers, which kind of sucks. Like, I got so used to it.
Most rain sensing wipers don't work the way that you want it to, though.
I don't know. I've had good experience with the BMW and the Toyota one.
Okay, RAV4. BMW ones generally work pretty well.
Yeah, the RAV4 lot of them... one is decent, too. The auto wipers on that. What else is it missing? You can't even option for keyless go, like the Porsche entry and drive. You can't even option for that.
Wait, you have to press a key?
You have to stick a key in on the left side and turn it every time. You can't pull the door handle, it will not open. And that's a GT car thing because
they can
give you less for more money. There is a car-shaped fob, but you have to stick it in the hole.
You still... Oh, no, to start it.
And multiple times, I have left it in the keyhole after getting out because I've turned it off and just hopped out because I've driven other Porsches in the past, like Macans or Cayennes or whatever, and you just turn the thing to the left, turn it off, and then walk away. But no, you have to pull the key out. Otherwise, someone can just hop in and steal it because you can't even option for that. The price has gone up a little bit, but when I ordered, it was cheaper than what you can spec it for now. It's pretty base.
Did you get the 3D printed body forming full bucket seat?
No. The seats are pretty slick. I have to buy... I've already spent a lot of money in the aftermarket because I had to buy brackets to fix the seating position. So the seating position is... The seats are comfortable enough, but the problem is they don't recline, which is okay as a daily driver. But If you ever wear a helmet, you're slouched forward and doesn't work, which is a huge
Oh.
oversight on their part because it you sit very upright normally daily driving, which is fine, but you add 3 inches of helmet behind you and you're no longer in a good position. So basically the seat brackets raise the front of the seat so it's more
What
reclined.
they're trying to say is, it's so safe, you don't need a helmet. See? See?
Big brain stuff right there.
Yeah. And you don't want to put all that weight on the top of the car. You're ruining the GT-ness of the vehicle.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, this car costed more than double of the Supra, which to me, that is the kicker because a lot of people ask me, okay, how do you like this car? And I'm like, you know, the Supra is a better car. I feel like the people buy this car because they know it won't depreciate. They know it will appreciate. And that is the big appeal of a GT4. It sounds like meh. It sounds really meh because the 718 below 3000 RPM just sounds like a vacuum cleaner because they added a particulate filter in it. It sounds worse than the old GT4. If you get a manual, the gearing is meh. Everything is great though. Like, don't get me wrong. The steering is amazing. The power delivery NA engine flat six is amazing. The PDK gearbox is amazing. Everything like driving wise is amazing, but it's a little bit too good because you just can't have fun in this car at normal, not even normal speed. You can't even have fun at this car at triple the speed limit, right? You have to be on a track, which that to me is what bothers me about this car is the Supra is more fun on the street. It's not as capable on the track, but not only is it more fun on the street, it's more livable because it has front sensors, back sensors, forward braking, lane departure, forward radar cruise control, what is that? Blind spot sensors. It
It
has
doesn't have blind spot monitoring.
doesn't have blind spot. I didn't even know that was legal.
Yeah,
Because
I
you
thought
can't
that
sell a
was
car
well.
with no blind sense sensors.
It has a rear camera though.
Oh, and it
That
doesn't even have auto dimming mirrors, which is so lame because you the car is low enough that SUVs do blind you, and you have to, when you drive at night, you have to flick the thing like you're living in the 90s. Like it's so loud, flick, like it's lame. Like how they've gotten away with building a car like this, I honestly don't know. But again, it all boils down, the desirability all boils down to the exclusivity and the secondhand values of these cars. Because I had another customer pick up same color without the carbon ceramic brakes. He paid more than I did brand new, and he had to snipe that deal. It came up less than 24 hours, and he had to snipe that deal, and it was more than MSRP for a 2-year-old car. That is just mind-boggling. I did get a side graphic to
Oh,
put on it.
you got the 69 on the
No.
side of the vehicle?
I should have. No, I just bought some aftermarket decals to
1,349 dollars to say 69 on the side of your
16
car.
and 4. Can you get 420 on one side and then 69 on the
No,
other?
sorry. It has to be the same on both sides.
Yeah, but no, not don't get me wrong, this car is it is.
Okay, I'm just it's like literally the world's biggest first world problem. It's like, oh man, you know what? I just got myself a Porsche and like just driving it every day is so hard. I have to like it's
Yeah.
not as easy as my Supra. That's
Yeah.
what you sound
That it is what I sound like, and it is the truth, and it is, I don't know, for me, you could buy two Supras for this, and I
Okay.
don't think it's two Supras worth of car.
Here's my question. Does a regular 718, can you get those things?
You can get keyless go on a 718, a regular one.
Can you
The
get
car to buy, if you don't, okay, if you don't care about resale value, you don't care about the car appreciating in 10 years or whatever, being able to track it for free, essentially, blah, blah, blah. Get the GTS 4.0 because it's the exact same power plant, but you can get a lot of the comfort features. And it's like 20, 30K less for a same similarly equipped car. So GTS 4.0 doesn't have the crazy aero. It's a little bit more livable. but it's a better value, and it's GT4 Lite, because the old GTS wasn't really comparable to GT4, but now they've given it the same options, drivetrain wise. It doesn't look as cool for sure. Like, that front bumper does not look as good, but it's more livable. It's more, daily drivable. The GT4 front lip is so long. The overhang is insane. I don't
Didn't
even
you
know how
raise
I'm
it?
going to get on the fair. I raised it all the way up, but all the way up is only 8 millimeters. It couldn't even, I don't think I even got a centimeter out of it, raising the manual coilovers all the way up. So there's that. Like, you don't need carbon ceramic brakes necessarily.
But when you go to Cars and Coffee, people look at your brakes and they're just like, oh, this
Oh,
guy
these are
didn't get the
red.
they
They're
didn't get
not
the carbon
yellow.
package. Oh,
Yeah.
you gotta
They're
get the
yeah, because people talk about the options that add value. So the bucket seats add value, carbon ceramics add
oh,
value.
lane change assist, adaptive
You
cruise
can't, I don't think
control.
you can even add that in the GT4.
Porsche entry
Entry and
and
drive. See,
drive.
it's $900. It's such a ripoff because it's standard on a $20,000 Hyundai. It's such a ripoff, but I do want it still, even if
Sorry,
it's $900.
this is preparation for a dash cam is $150, not the dash cam
Doesn't even
itself.
include the dash cam. They didn't even try to sell me that though. They knew.
Oh, I like this a lot.
Yeah.
125K so far, 21,000 in additional options.
Yeah, it's better equipped and still 20K less than a GT4.
But this doesn't look as cool.
It doesn't look as cool, but it is the car to get. If you just care about how a car drives and how a car is to live with, that is the car. And that what else is a car really aside from that, right? But no, if
How much is the base 911?
you can't get a nine, well, you can't get a GT4 either. Either way, all these cars you have to wait like over a year for.
A base 911 is 119. Okay, taking MSRP, no, I would personally take this over that.
It's not as good of an engine.
Oh,
The
definitely not. But
GTS 4.0 gets 4.0.
everyone knows when you're buying a Porsche, you're buying a 911. If you buy anything else, you're just throwing it away. Basically, because what do you drive? Oh, I see. I have a Porsche, but it's not the one that you're thinking of with the engine in the back. This one is better because they put the engine in the middle, but they can't make it that much better because the one that has the engine in the back has to be the best.
Yeah.
Every single time you talk to a person, you have to explain that. That gets, exhausting. You buy a 911 Carrera, you don't have to explain that. They'd be like, oh, do you have the one with the turbo? And you can say yes.
They all have the turbo.
No, don't say
Not
that.
the GT.
If you say
Of
that,
course, I have a turbo.
exactly. You just say that. It's like, of course I got the turbo. And you can put a turbo badge on the back of this and not be a liar. Here's your kicking tires top tip. If you want a Porsche, buy the 911
If you can
Carrera.
get a 992, get a 992.
Put a fake black
Yeah.
vinyl in front of the rear fender. It'll look like it has a vent. Go to eBay, buy a wing on the rear, and then a turbo decal.
Yeah. Right
Done.
now, even 992s you have to trade in to get one. That is just,
Oh, really? You
it is
can't
a
even just.
crazy, crazy world we live in that you have to trade in to even be considered to buy one. It
I
is
saw one of our
rough.
mutual friends got a 997, and I got really jealous.
That 97 is not cheap.
Oh, I
Not
know.
cheap at all.
It's direct from Porsche. Like, I know it wouldn't be cheap. I saw
It was over
it.
90K
Ooh,
for
for a
a 10-year-old
997.
10-year-old 997.
Oh,
So that
that
those are
hurts.
the times we live in because, well, here's the thing, right? People always ask me, well, how do you get one? And it's the same as the GR Corolla. I already explained it in the past, is you've got to be willing to take a huge hit on whatever you're trading in. They will give you an allocation. Someone somewhere will take your order and give you a car if you're willing to lose money on, like, give them more money to make. That is the game right now.
Sounds good.
There's
Time.
that's the crazy thing is we knew this with cars like Ferrari in the past,
Yeah, but now it's for
it's now
every car.
trickled down to RAV4s and Siennas. Like,
Right.
and right. Teslas.
I'm gonna be right after this call. I'm gonna be on my way to a local guy that has a 996 for sale. 996 is $50,000.
Turbo?
No. C2.
Oh no.
With 130,000 on it.
Oh, before I forget, I also want to mention we are hosting our track day July 25th at Mission Raceway. We will have our Red Seal service advisor, barbecue chef, flipping burgers, and I'm not sure what else. novices are welcome. We do have instructors. Novice group is filled up at the moment. I think we will just open up a second novice group because it seems like a lot of first timers want to come out. So we're welcoming of that. So,
and test drives on the GT4, right?
Definitely test ride.
I heard test drive on GT4 and bring home a Supra, something like that.
You can ride in anything if you come to our track day. 275 tax in Monday, July 25th.
That's actually very reasonable. 275 tax in.
Yeah, we're not that's making money on that.
Well, clearly.
You won't even cover food.
At 275, actually, no, you wouldn't be, but yeah, that's very reasonable. Maybe maybe I'll come and just drive the RAV4 around. No.
RAV6 versus CRV battle.
Heavy tires with power versus lighter wheels.
Lower and handling upgrade. The RAV6 handles terrible, I can tell you that.
I have stiffer sways for the CRV. I have a quartz sway bars on it.
Our quartz sway bars actually stiffer.
Yeah, the CRV one's really thin. Anyways, that's really it for this week. Thank you so much for watching. It's been one hell of a week, or like 3 weeks that we haven't been on air. We'll be back next week, though, back on a regular time. So thank you so much, and we'll catch you later.